Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
We talked not so long ago about a juror who got in trouble for doing Google research on a case when he shouldn't have been doing that, and he got in trouble for it. And a lot of people reacted quite strongly to that. And one of the things that people often react to is how much power a judge has in their courtroom, how much power they've got. And it's one of those things that even many attorneys kind of are shocked by. But inside a courtroom, a judge has a lot of discretion. And that means that not only can they do things, they can also get away with things that might shock you. So here's a crazy story out of North Carolina sent to me by Gayla, William, Carl, and Ronnie. Judge jails North Carolina editor over reporter's use of recorder in court. A reporter was using a digital recorder in a courtroom. And as a result of that, the judge sent the editor of the reporter to jail. Brian Anderson wrote this to the Associated Press. A North Carolina Superior Court judge put a small-town newspaper editor behind bars last month after one of his reporters used an audio recorder for note-taking at a murder trial. Now, it's a punishment the paper and media rights groups consider excessive. And as you can imagine, as a reporter writing about this, it has got to kind of send a little chill up your spine as you type these words knowing they're going to get published. Judge Stephen Futrell sentenced Gavin Stone, the news editor of the Richmond County Daily Journal, to 5 days in jail before having the editor hauled off. Stone was released the next day but still faces the possibility of more time in jail. Brian Bloom, the paper's publisher, acknowledged that his reporter should not have had the recorder in court because it's not allowed, but criticized the judge's move to imprison an editor for a minor infraction committed by a colleague. So if you walk into a courthouse, especially nowadays, you'll go through metal detectors. You'll see signs on the wall. These things are not allowed in the courthouse. And many courthouses don't allow phones, recording devices, cameras, anything like that. And there's a bunch of reasons for it. And one of the reasons, and I'm just going to throw one out here, is that there are court reporting things happening that are recording what's happening in the court. So everything in court's being recorded by the court, one way or another. In almost all courts. I understand there's some smaller courts, doesn't happen, but major courts, it's being recorded. Court reporter and so on. So if there's somebody in the gallery with a camera taking photographs during a trial, it's going to distract people. It will distract people. And they've just had this blanket rule against recording things in a courtroom without the judge's permission as being just forbidden. That's been on the books forever. So anybody entering a courtroom would have seen a sign somewhere says recording devices not permitted. Go, you know, go see the judge's clerk or something. So the problem here is that the publisher says the penalty does not fit the crime. Let's put this in perspective. You stop a murder trial not once but twice because a guy had a tape recorder sitting next to him on a bench at a courtroom. Let's put our priorities in place here. The judge did not respond to a request for comment. Superior Court rules allow electronic media and still photography coverage of public judicial proceedings, but grant judges the authority to prohibit the technology. So there's often the situation where there's a courthouse, there's a big building, okay? A big building, courthouse. Inside the courthouse are a bunch of courtrooms, and there'll be a judge in each courtroom. And it's often the case that they will have a general set of rules for the building, but the judge can set their own rules, in particular for a particular proceeding. So, for instance, I can give you an example. You have a case where there's a child witness, a very, very small child witness. Most court cases are open to the public. You can walk in and watch a trial. It's one of the things your tax dollars pay for, is you can go in and watch the trials. A judge can clear the courtroom and say, we're not going to let just members of the public in here while the child is testifying. Now, the jury will be here. The bailiff will be here. The judge will be here. All the parties will be here. All the attorneys will be here. Everyone necessary for the case will be here. And the child will testify. But nobody back there in the gallery. And the judge can do that. That's absolutely acceptable. And you could say, but Steve, there should be open to the public. Most people understand why they do that. Okay, so there are going to be rules that the court can set for that particular case. So I don't know whether this recording device was distracting. Because he says he's using it for note-taking. Is he speaking into it, or is he using it to record what's happening in the courtroom? Because if he's speaking to it, that'd be distracting also. But he's simply doing it to catch what's happening in the courtroom. Somehow, other reporters do it without using a recorder. So the staff writer who's only worked the paper since January, brought the recorder into the courtroom on June 21st and 22nd after being screened through courthouse security. Apparently, the news editor in January of 2020 received a letter from a different judge reprimanding him for taking a photo inside a courtroom and was aware that cell phones were prohibited and had been notified at the time that he wasn't allowed to bring a cell phone, camera, or any other recording device into the courthouse without judge's permission. So the editor had been told, you cannot bring this stuff into the courthouse. So what happens when one of his employees goes in? Now, the editor told the reporter that an audio recorder was fine because he remembered the letter, but he thought it mentioned cell phones. So the writer used the device during a recess to interview a source in the courtroom. When the judge learned that the reporter had the recorder, he directed the reporter to remove it from his courtroom. The writer then went back into the newsroom, and a bailiff called him to return to court to speak with the judge, and the editor went with him. That's how the editor got involved in this, apparently. The two expected the judge to speak with them behind closed doors, but were surprised when a bailiff directed them inside the courtroom, where the judge stopped the trial and found the editor and reporter in criminal contempt of court. The judge sentenced Stone to 5 days in jail, and the reporter was fined $500. The editor says, I was blown away the decision was made that fast. It happened so fast. There was no real way to process it in the moment and recognize what I was even involved in. All of a sudden, I'm in orange. He's referring to orange being the new black. So they quickly found an attorney who filed an appeal and got the editor out of jail the next day. Brooks Fuller, who's the director of the North Carolina Open Government Coalition and an assistant professor at journalism at Elon University, said, it's a little disturbing when a judge starts contempt proceedings over the use of an unobtrusive, quiet, pocket-sized device that a reporter uses to do their job in a courtroom. Jonathan Jones, a private attorney in Durham who handles free speech cases, called the judge's decision extremely unusual. Jones said an appeals court should find that Stone was wrongfully held in direct criminal contempt since he wasn't the one disrupting court proceedings. And that's the issue. He said that Stone was entitled to a lawyer before the judge sentenced him, and it's open for debate about whether or not the journalist who did the recording deserved to be held in contempt. So, again, the reporter comes into court. He's got a tape recorder, a digital recorder. And the story is that his editor said, I think that's okay, because I was told you can't bring a phone into court. And so when the judge brings them both back before him, it appears the judge is thinking, look, I told you once, and you sent this guy in with a recorder. You should know better. So fines the reporter, but throws the editor in jail. Not saying it's right. I'm simply explaining it to you, okay? So the newspaper's appeal is scheduled to be heard in a couple weeks. The newspaper's appeal is scheduled to be heard in about a week. The judge has removed the original penalties on both the editor and the journalist and is allowing an appeals court to decide whether to make the editor or reporter pay money or serve time in jail. Under North Carolina law, a court can punish someone for criminal contempt if the act was preceded by a clear warning from the court that the conduct was improper. A person held in criminal contempt can be punished through a formal reprimand, imprisonment of up to 30 days, and a fine of up to $500 or any combination of the three. And so the judge is saying, I told the editor in a letter, you cannot bring these things into court. And you apparently instructed someone that they could. That's the argument. The newspaper stopped covering the murder trial once that the editor was taken into custody, partially out of fear the judge would retaliate. It has not reported on the arrest or the fine of its employees. So meanwhile, the man who wrote this story, Brian Anderson, is a core member for the Associated Press Report for America Statehouse News Initiative, and they're a nonprofit national service program that places journalists in local courtrooms to report on undercovered issues. So it's a strange, strange case because it would appear that it was an honest mistake. But nowadays they make digital recorders. They're about that big, right? And I've seen them smaller than that, but I mean, I've actually got one that's very, very functional, can record for hours and hours and hours, crystal clear clarity. But, you know, you walk into a courtroom very easily with one on you. But they say specifically, no recording in the courtroom without permission. So I can understand how a young reporter might actually think, you know something, during a break, I stand up, I'm going to interview somebody, I want to make sure I interview them correctly. technically speaking, got to step out in the hallway and do it. And even then, it might not be okay. But I think in this courthouse, it was. But the point is that anytime you see something happening in a courtroom, even when it's not in session, it does catch your attention. So, for instance, I know this is very old school, but when men walk into a courtroom, they're supposed to remove their hats. I know there's guys that right now wearing baseball hats going, huh? Baseball hat on backwards. You talking to me? What if it's on backwards? I can leave it backwards, all right? And I've seen a bailiff look at somebody and say, sir, hat. And the guy takes his hat off. It's before the judge hits the bench. And it's because you should, and I know people ask me this all the time, they go, Steve, why should I behave differently in a courtroom? Do you want to get respect in a courtroom? You know, sometimes to get respect, you have to give respect. And I'm an attorney, and I have to respect the courtroom because I work in courtrooms so often. But if you want to get respect, you act respectful. So I've had people say, Steve, why should I dress up and go to court? Why can't I go to court dressed in a t-shirt and shorts? Why can't I? You can. But remember that people do judge you by how you act, what you say, and how you look. And so if you walk into a courtroom wearing flip-flops, shorts, and a t-shirt, okay, judge is going to look at you and go, this guy doesn't even care why he's here. Or this gal doesn't care why she's here. They don't even give a rip. Just showed up. And so if you dress nice, if nothing else, you're going to look better than a guy who wore the flip-flops. I'm not kidding you. Remember, the bear is chasing you. You don't have to outrun the bear. You got to outrun the other guy, right? So if there's 20 people in court going to be here in front of a judge one day and you're dressed nicely and they're not, I'm not saying that that's the thought process. I'm not even saying it's right. I personally believe it helps, okay? So getting back to, you've been told that recorders aren't allowed in the courtroom. And even if you're thinking that means during court, step out in the hallway. But that's water under the bridge now. So right now, as it stands, the editor spent the night in jail and the reporter got fined $500. But the judge has actually said, you know something, I'm going to punt this and let someone else decide both, you know, if something bad happened here and what the punishment might be. We'll see what happens. But it does seem a little harsh. But also I would hope that someone starting out as a journalist would ask around a little bit, because there's going to be some court reporters. I'm not talking about the people who work for the court. I'm talking about the people who cover the courts for the newspapers. And over the years, I got to know a few of them. I got to know a woman who worked for the Free Press. I got to know a guy who worked for the Detroit News. These are guys and gals who cover courts and legal proceedings. And I'd often see them in court. I'd say, oh, hey, there's Lori. Hey, there's Jeff. I know these people, you know. And I'd see them over there scribbling furiously on one of those reporters' little notebooks and I'd wave or whatever. And if you were a young reporter just starting out, go find one of those people and talk to them. Just say, by the way, I'm new at this. I just got out of journalism school. What should I know? Tell me the stuff they didn't teach me in journalism school. And they might say, by the way, these judges can be crazy. And so pay very close attention to their rules. And if they lay down a rule, pay very close attention to it. You don't want to cross them. And by the way, people will also tell you that just in life in general, if you're nice to people, and you're friendly and you ask questions like that, there's a good chance that if you make it clear, I'm learning and I'm trying to learn, I'm trying to do the right thing. Can you help me out here? People will help you out. So if you ask around and say, by the way, is it okay for me to use this in here? And they go, no, in the hallway. If you use it in the hallway and someone goes, what are you doing using it in the hallway? You go, clerk told me I could. You know, covers you. So there are no stupid questions. Ask, get the advice. And like I said, if you're just starting out, really ask around and you can learn this stuff. But again, this is over the top because the editor went to jail because the reporter used a recorder in the courtroom. But I've heard of crazier stuff, but that one right there is up there. So Gayla, William, Carl, and Ronnie, thanks for sending it. By Brian Anderson of the Associated Press and Report for America. Judge jails North Carolina editor over reporter's use of a recorder in a courtroom. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. We are all sentenced to solitary confinement inside our own skins for life.